All right, good morning to everybody. We're very, very happy to be here with you today, and especially with my family, with Esther, Yoon, Ezra, Micah, and little baby Sophie, Sophia, Sophie Fufu. Everybody has a nickname. And thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to share from God's word today. I asked my husband, we're getting ready to go back to the Philippines, and he's doing a lot of things, and I said, do you want me to speak? I will volunteer to speak. And he said, yeah, sure. I went, uh-oh, so here we go. All right. Well, we made it here this morning, only 5 minutes late, which was quite remarkable when you consider there are three little children. And getting out the door took longer than what we expected this morning. My daughter Esther very, very thoughtfully said this morning, Mom, you just don't worry about anything. We'll take care of everything. You just go in and you just go prepare and we'll do everything, which means I didn't make sandwiches or snacks and then everything took longer than what was expected. And then we got out the door looking. I looked for my notes, my Bible, my shoes. They were on my feet, thankfully, and we got on our way. And have you ever done anything that's taken longer than what you expected it to take, like us this morning? And at the end, you just really had to rush through it to get done on time. I think that's happened to all of us. And, you know, it seems like that's what happened to the writer of the book of Hebrews, that as he was writing this letter, he was coming to the end, near the end, he got to what we call chapter 11, and it seems like he just was running out of time. And after writing about the exploits of faith of Noah, of Abraham, of Joseph, Moses, and others in quite lengthy detail, perhaps, I don't know, maybe he looked at the hourglass and he saw oh no, I have an appointment when the sand is 3/4 down to the bottom and he had to leave. Or maybe his candle was running, burning out and he didn't have another candle and it was getting dark outside. And he had to rush through writing the end of the book of Hebrews. And he said, I could go on and on writing more and more, but I've run out of time. And I had my scripture written down, but that's back at the house. All right. Okay, that's Hebrews 11. I think it's maybe, 38? We do have a PowerPoint, but we don't have it with us. Okay. You remember what it's like, right? All right, and he said, I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. And then he quickly mentions the names of others who are heroes of faith, and they're in Faith's Hall of Fame. Their names are forever etched in Hebrews chapter 11, but he doesn't go into any detail about any of them. And out of those people that he mentioned, I've often wondered about three of them. How in the world did they ever get on that list of heroes of faith? And they are Barak, Jephthah, and Samson. And if we could look today, and maybe just I'm going to just toss out some ideas of perhaps how they got to be on this list of heroes of faith. And we find Barak's story in Judges chapter 4. And at that time in history, the Israelites were at war with the Canaanites. And the prophetess Deborah sent for Barak, the army general, and she gave him a prophetic word. He was to take 10,000 men, and he was to go into battle and fight against Jabin and his Canaanite army, and God was going to give him the victory. But Barak's response to the word of the Lord was not what we might expect it to be. And when I read his response, I wonder, how in the world did this man get into Hebrews chapter 11, Heroes of Faith? He said in chapter 4 of Judges, verse 8, Barak said to Deborah, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Now, can you imagine that? Here is an army general, and he's not a coward. He's accustomed to battle. And he was a man, and a mighty man at that. And God promised him victory if he went to battle. And yet he refused to go into battle against the Canaanites unless a woman went with him. Now, what kind of a self-respecting man will do that? I'm not going. No, I'm not going to go. And then not only says that, but he winds up on the list of the heroes of faith of Hebrews chapter 11 as a hero of faith. Now, in the Philippines, we have a world-famous boxer. Maybe you've heard his name, Manny Pacquiao. He's also a senator, and in the future, I think he is going to run for president of the Philippines. So I wish he would stop boxing, because he might get hurt. And he has won nearly every boxing match that he has fought, and he fights his opponents who are always taller than him, which means they have a farther reach, which means that he's at a disadvantage, and they usually weigh a little bit more than him, and they're usually about 15 years younger than he is, and he still wins. But he's strong. He's fearless. He's one of our heroes, our athletes in the Philippines. He's also a beautiful Christian man, a lovely example in every way. But it would be like Manny Pacquiao refusing to go into the boxing ring with his opponent unless, you know, he says, "I won't go unless my mama comes with me. I want my mother." And we would think that was strange. Well, Barak told Deborah, "I will not go unless you come with me." Deborah said, "Very well, I'll go with you. But because of the way you're doing this, because of what you're saying, the honor will not go to you. The honor will go to someone else. It will go to a woman. The victory is going to go to a woman." And Barak says, "Okay." He's fine. He's fine with that. He didn't really say okay, but he basically did, because in verses 9 in Judges chapter 4, Deborah said, "I will go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you're taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." And then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun, Naphtali, to Kedesh, and then he went with 10,000 men soldiers that he commanded, that were under his command. So basically, Barak said, "Okay, that's fine. I'll go. You come with me, and I'll go." And he winds up in Faith's Hall of Fame. So how does he get there? What did he do to get there? What gets him in when others are not mentioned in that list? And so I'm going to just toss out a possibility to you, that Barak was not concerned with his own reputation. He wasn't concerned with his own honor. He wasn't concerned with receiving the glory for this great victory. Barak's only concern was that the people get victory and that God gets the glory. It didn't matter to Barak if the victory came through him or through someone else, as long as the victory came. It didn't matter to Barak if he received the honor or not, as long as the people got victory over their enemies and God got the victory. And now I think we all know King Saul was the opposite of that. In 1 Samuel, Saul said to Samuel, after Saul had disobeyed the word of the Lord, he said, "Just honor me. Just honor me before the people. Just this one more time. Honor me in front of the people." He was more concerned about getting honor than he was about doing the will of God or God getting honor. And Barak was more concerned with the God's honor than his own, and his name is forever etched into faith's hall of fame as a hero of faith. And you know, I think that we all want to do great things for God, even small things for God, all right? I'm not graduated into the great things yet. I'm happy to do the small things for God. But who's going to get the honor? Whose reputation is at stake? Is it God's reputation? Or is it my reputation or your reputation or people's reputation that's more important? And Barak might have looked foolish asking Deborah to join him in the battle. But Barak knew that Deborah was a prophetess. Barak knew he was not a prophet. Barak knew Deborah would have the word of the Lord, and if they got into a difficulty fighting a much larger army than theirs, if they got into a bind, Barak knew that Deborah would have the word of the Lord, and she could help them out of that difficult situation. Barak knew that Deborah could hear from God and that she would know what to do. And so he recognized his own limitations. He recognized the giftings in someone else. And we need to recognize the giftings and the strengths in others and encourage them in those giftings. Barak sought for the honor of God. He recognized the strengths in Deborah. He recognized his own limitations, and he didn't mind looking weak himself. And he got into Faith's Hall of Fame. And when we're more concerned with God's honor, God's glory, than our own, I believe we're qualifying as people of faith. When we don't mind the possibility of looking silly ourselves, as long as God gets the honor and God's people get the victory, I believe we're becoming people of faith. And there's times when the Lord might ask us to speak on his behalf or go somewhere and do something for him. And sometimes that person doesn't want to do it. What if it doesn't work out? What if it fails? What if you read the Bible and the Lord told, and also in the book of Judges, the Lord told the Israelites, go and fight against the Benjamites at Gibeon. God told them to do that, and they went, and they lost. They lost the battle, and they went back. Oh, what happened? They inquired to the Lord again, what should we do? He said, go and fight. And they went, and they were defeated a second time. What's going on? Didn't they hear from God? Or did they? Yeah, they did. And again, then they humbled themselves. They prayed. They said, Lord, what do we do? The Lord said, you go and you fight again a third time. And this time you're going to get the victory. And they did. I think that happened to just encourage us that if at first we don't succeed, try again. All right? Things are not as easy as in a Disney movie. All right? Things don't always work out the first time. But sometimes God might ask us to go somewhere, do something, speak for him. We might think, well, what will people say about that? What will my family think? What am I going to think? I don't want to look silly in front of my friends. And I remember, I've told this story, I think I told it in Waverly, and that I was out one time with my friends, and we hardly ever get out. I hardly ever get out with my girlfriends in the Philippines because we're all busy. But one day we decided we were going to go out. We were going to go to a mall. We're going to go out for lunch together. And we planned it well enough in advance. We were not going to go to an ordinary mall. We were going to go to a fancy mall. All right, it was going to be a special day, a high-class mall. We were going to eat lunch. And we did, and we had a wonderful time. And then we left, and as we were walking out of that restaurant, all together, the Holy Spirit said to me, go back to that restaurant and tell the waiter that the thing that he has diligently been praying for I will do. And I thought, uh-oh. Oh. So I started walking slower but walking away from the restaurant. And the farther I got away, the louder the Spirit of God was speaking. Go back and tell the waiter that the thing he has been diligently praying for, I will do. So I stopped and I said to my friends, just wait here for a minute. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And they said, oh, did you forget something? Yeah, my courage. Besides that, no. I said, no. And I said, I'll just be right back. And they said, we'll go with you. I said, no, don't. If I'm going to look silly, I'd rather not have an audience, right? I said, no, you wait here, I'll go back. And I went back to that restaurant, and the waiter was standing there. And I walked up to him, and I gathered my courage, and I said to him, hi. And he said, hello. I said, so, I was here with my friends, and we were just having a day out today. And he went, oh, good. I said, and your service at this restaurant made our luncheon occasion even more special because you're a very good waiter. He said, thank you. I said, so that's what happened. I'm with my friends and you are a very good waiter. He said, thank you. And I thought, okay, here it goes. And I said, and also, the Lord said to tell you that the thing that you have been diligently praying for, he will do. And the man said, what? What did the Lord? The Lord said what? So I felt a little bit more confident. I said, the Lord said to tell you that the thing that you have been diligently praying for, he will do. And that man just about collapsed. He went, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was saying it too. I didn't want to look silly. We don't like to look silly. But you know, Barak wasn't concerned about looking silly, maybe forever on the pages of Scripture, saying, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. He was more concerned with the honor and the glory going to God, even at the risk of maybe looking weak himself. So maybe that's what got Barak into the Hall of Fame, the Heroes Hall of Faith. All right, now the next unlikely hero of faith is the man called Jephthah. And we find his story in Judges chapter 11. And he's in verses 1 through 8. I'll just read a little bit of that because we don't have our PowerPoint. And I know you have what do you call them? Electronic Bibles? Or not electronic? Is it electronic? Okay, they're all right. I've got my pages here. All right, Judges chapter 11. It says, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out, said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you're the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. And this man Jephthah is one of our heroes of faith. Now what gets him out? We're told his father's name was Gilead, but Jephthah was not the son of his father's wife. He was born to a different woman. His mother was a prostitute. And when Gilead's wife's sons had grown up, they kicked Jephthah out of the family. They said, you're not the son of our mother. You're not going to share in any inheritance with us. You're the son of another woman. So Jephthah was rejected by his family. And we could say he was rejected. He was despised. He was cast out. He was forced to flee to another country. And there he remained until something happened that in his brother's life that changed everything. And his brothers suddenly were faced with a situation they could not handle themselves. They were faced with a battle they were not able to win on their own. An enemy attacked them, an enemy that was much stronger than they were, and they were in trouble. And you know who they turned to for help? They sent messengers to Jephthah. And the messenger came to Jephthah and said, come fight for us. Come rescue us. Help us. Come risk your life in battle for us. Now, if it had been a text, I'm sure Jephthah would have thought it was missent and he would have just pressed delete. He went, that's not for me. Come fight for us. Come help us. Jephthah might have rubbed his ears to hear, am I hearing the messenger correctly? He probably thought, wait a minute, didn't you kick me out from my father's family? Didn't you hate me? Didn't you drive me out of my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? Now, I don't know about you, but if it had been me, I might have replied, you know, I'm planning on going to Adventure Island that day with my grandchildren, and I'm going to be swimming, floating around that circular thing that you float around in tubes like we did yesterday, and it was so much fun. I would have said, you know, I'm just scheduled for that day, but let me know how the battle goes. I'll be thinking about you. But Jephthah did not do that. Instead, his response was completely the opposite of that. And I think his response is what got us into Faith's Hall of Fame. Jephthah helped his brothers. He had been misused. He had been accused. He had been confused. He had been slandered. He had his reputation ruined by his brothers, kicked out of his own family. And yet Jephthah, the son of a prostitute, didn't let these things mark him for life. Instead, he forgave his brothers and he went to help them. And it takes faith. It takes faith to forgive those who have hurt us. In Luke chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus said this. He said, if your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, forgive him. And then verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Yeah, increase our faith. If your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, forgive him. Lord, you better increase our faith because we don't know that we've got that kind of faith. And it takes faith to forgive those who have mistreated you or cast you out or spoken against you or hurt you or harmed you in some way or any way. It takes faith to leave the injustice in God's hands and believe that ultimately he will take care of it. And ultimately, all things really do work together for good to those who love God. Jephthah had that kind of faith that allowed him to help the people who had rejected him and mistreated him. He was willing to fight for his brothers who drove him away from his own father's house. He fought to rescue those who had hurt him the most. He forgave them. And that takes tremendous courage and faith. And you know, I think that if we forgive others their offenses against us, we're qualifying as heroes of faith, just like Jephthah. Jephthah didn't allow slander or rejection hinder him from reaching out to those who needed help when they needed help and they were in trouble. Can we be like Jephthah, who fought for the people who hurt him the most, those who had rejected him the most? You know, Joseph did the same thing. Joseph saved the lives of those who sold him into slavery. Jesus laid down his life for those who crucified him, along with those who would turn to him, for all. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That gift of eternal life and forgiveness reaches to us even today, even when we fall short of his goodness. And our reaction to people who have hurt us is a barometer of the level of our faith. It's a barometer of our character. It's a barometer of our meekness, our humility, or a barometer of our pride. It shows who we are. It exposes who we are inside of us. And some keep a record of offenses, and they disqualify themselves from a higher place in God. And I remember many years ago when my husband and I and Rebecca, our eldest daughter, Esther was not yet born, we moved to the island of Palawan, and we lived in the jungle there on the island of Palawan in the Philippines. And we lived in a house that had been built many years earlier. It was cement on the outside, all wood on the inside. And when we first got to that house, we would hear at night when it was very quiet, we would hear a really strange sound. There were a lot of strange sounds in the jungle. But this one we could not identify. We thought, what is that noise? It seems to be coming from all around us. And we got out from under the mosquito net with our flashlights, tried to find it. We discovered it was coming from inside of the wooden walls, and that we could put our ears against the wall and we could hear that sound. It was a sound of termites chewing on the walls. Termites eating the wood. There were so many, you could actually hear it. We wound up pulling down a, 7 meter, that's 23 feet long.
2x6s.
2x6, thank you. Beams that supposed to hold up the roof, just pulled them down and carried them with three fingers because they were hollow inside. The termites had eaten out the inside of those beams. You could hear them. It was the creepiest sound. They undermined the strength of the walls. They undermined the strength of the roof. They undermined the strength of the house. But I discovered my first year there that they were not the only termites that were living in that house. Well, there were more, maybe not exactly termites, but something like termites. And they were living inside of me. And they were thoughts that were chewing and chewing and chewing in my thoughts constantly, nonstop. And we had come from a place that had been a very difficult place. We were working alongside of a very difficult person. We served under him for about 3.5 years. And we went from there to Palawan in the Philippines. We were more than 6,000 miles away. And still, my thoughts were like termites, eating and eating and eating, nonstop, day and night. Eating away inside of me, undermining my strength, undermining my joy, just as termites undermined the strength on the walls of our home. What had happened is I had held on to offenses. I had taken up the reproach against someone, just like the Bible says, don't do it. I had done it. And I remembered every hurtful thing that person had said and done. I was like Jeremiah, remembering the wormwood and the gall. Right? I remembered everything. And after about a year, a whole year, I really prayed. And I thought, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. And I prayed, and I got a hold of God, and I got over it, and I forgave. Later on, a few years later, we were given an opportunity maybe it was many years later, maybe six, seven years later, we were given an opportunity to help that individual, and we helped him. I felt like Jephthah. I felt like Jephthah. And if there's somebody in your life, like Jephthah's brothers, someone who has hurt you somewhere along the line and through the life's journey, I want to just encourage you to let go of those bad feelings towards that person, whatever they've done. Be like Jephthah, who didn't let rejection or hurts or unkind words hinder him from reaching out and helping those who were in trouble. And it takes faith to forgive. I think that's why Jephthah is in Faith's Hall of Fame. And you know, if we go to the book of Joshua and chapter 1, and you know there was a time with a change of leadership between Joshua and Moses, and then the Lord said to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6 of Joshua, he said, "Be strong and of good courage." In verse 7, God repeats it. He said, "Only be strong and very courageous." And we might think, yeah, Joshua, you're going to go and you're going to fight the enemies of the Lord. You're going to go and you're going to attack Jericho and all these other places. Be strong and courageous. But that's not what God was talking about. God wasn't worried about the enemies. He's going to say, okay, march around Jericho, shout, boom, the walls come down. That's not going to be a problem. But in Joshua 1:7, the Lord said, "Be strong and very courageous to do according to all of the law." Now, what is the law? The law is love God and love people. And sometimes it takes a lot of faith and courage to love people, especially if one of those people you are called on to love is like Jephthah's brothers. Jesus brought it even further. He said, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemies, right? Love even your enemies. So God's concern for Joshua was, would he have the courage to follow the law? Would he have the strength to love God and love the people with all of their quirks, with all of their challenges, with all of their faults, with all of their complaining, with all of their opposing opinions? And would Joshua still do what was right? Joshua, of course, we know, did. And so did Jephthah. He loved his brothers. And that got him into Faith's Hall of Fame. His name is forever carved in Hebrews chapter 11. The word of the Lord abides forever. His name is there. So I want to encourage you, if you have bad feelings towards someone, anyone, to let go of them. Let's be like Jephthah, all right? And not let hurts hinder us from reaching out to those who are in trouble. And then lastly, there's Samson. Now, if I had the list from Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sorry, but Samson would have been the first name I would have crossed off that list. How could he get on the recommendation for Faith's Hall of Fame? How did he get there? Samson, we know he married a Philistine woman in disobedience to God. He spent the night with a prostitute. He fell in love with another Philistine of terrible character, Delilah. He lost his strength because of it. He lost his vision because of his lust for a woman. And he ends up in Hebrews chapter 11 as a hero of faith. Why is Samson counted as one of the heroes of faith? And maybe it's because of a prayer that he prayed just after he was blinded and he was enslaved, shackled and in chains. He was captive of the enemy because of his failures. And yet, in chapter 16 of Judges, Samson prayed this. He prayed, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. And Samson did not let failure be the period at the end of the sentence of his life. He did not end his life in failure. We remember Samson's failures, yes, but we remember the tremendous victory at the end of his life. He had the faith to pray, the faith to believe that God would strengthen him, that God could strengthen him again. And that's in verse 28 of Judges chapter 17, I think, or 16. Oh God, remember me, sovereign Lord. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, oh God. He had the faith to believe that his failure was not the end of the story. He had the faith to believe that God's goodness was great enough to lift him up again. He had the faith to believe that his mistakes were not enough to keep him from the purposes of God. He had the faith to get up after he had been knocked down. He had the faith that after he tripped and he fell, he did not stay down. He was like the righteous in Proverbs 24, verse 16, that says, the righteous fall and they get up again. He got up again. And so this morning, will we be like Peter, who didn't let his denial of the Lord keeping him from being in that upper room later on? He didn't let his failure of denying the Lord keep him from standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching when 3,000 souls were saved. And Samson believed that the most terrible situation could be salvaged when he was willing to turn back to God. By faith, Samson took hold of those two pillars and he pushed against them. And more of the enemies of the Lord were destroyed in Samson's death than throughout his entire lifetime. So this morning, let's find inspiration from Samson, who did not allow any failure keep him from a holy determination to fulfill God's purposes. And let's find inspiration, I hope, from Barak, who sought the honor of God more than caring about his own honor. He had the humility to recognize his own limitations, and he had the humility to recognize the strengths in others and to let them help him when he needed them, even at the cost of looking silly himself. And let's find inspiration, I hope, from Jephthah, a man who had been hurt deeply by those who should have been his defenders, by those who should have been the closest to him, by those who should have stood with him. And yet he had the faith and the courage to forgive them and to go the second mile, to go and to help them. So I hope that this could be an encouragement and an inspiration to someone today. God bless you.